find his work for USA Today online, usatoday.com, or make your way to your local hotel lobby. You can follow on Twitter. He's got a stylish new avatar of his work on television. Use the handle at George Schroeder. Mr. Schroeder, how are you on this fine Wednesday?
And I'm good. You're like the first person that's noticed that, so I appreciate it. That's great.
I'm a very observant guy because I don't have much else going on, so these things are important to me. The era of Les Miles at LSU over. He almost lost the gig last Thanksgiving. They had the tough loss to Wisconsin this year, the clock mismanagement this week. But, you know, since they played for the national title in January 2012, they've kind of underachieved. You wrote an interesting piece. Am I correct in saying one of the big deal breakers can't beat that guy at Alabama?
Yeah, well, first of all, you realize that every single coach in the SEC has turned over since 2007 when Nick Saban arrived now. Now, that's not necessarily unusual in college football. I mean, that happens all over the place. But the Nick Saban effect is undeniable when it comes to SEC, and especially the SEC West. It's pretty clear that as Alabama has risen and maintained, that Nick Saban has, he's become sort of a shadow that people can't get out of, and that was especially true with Les Miles, who, you know, was at the school that Nick Saban had been at before he went off to the NFL for that brief stint. So he was measured by Nick Saban even more than the other guys in the SEC West were all the time.
We always hear about top jobs in the country, USC, Miami, Alabama, Ohio State. This gig in Baton Rouge, you know, they're talking about Nick Saban or Harbaugh or Urban Meyer. I don't think that's realistic. How high up the list of, jobs would you put LSU? And is there a guy out there that they can't pursue, or is everybody in play?
Oh, well, there are guys that, for one reason or another, have great jobs themselves. I mean, you're not getting Urban Meyer, Nick Saban. You know, those don't make any sense. And
right.
There are some other jobs that are great jobs and guys that are entrenched at places for one reason or another. But you certainly can go after Jimbo Fisher. They almost had him in the fold, and had they gotten the final go-ahead with him, they would have fired Les Miles last November.
Huh.
They almost had Jimbo Fisher, so they'll go after him. You can certainly go after Tom Herman, who would definitely take the job, although if things continue to go wrong at USC, I still think this is a long shot, and they decide to make the change after only 1 year with Clay Helton, and again, I think that's unlikely. But if they do that, then all of a sudden I think USC becomes a major player for Tom Herman, and he makes sense because he's a California guy. But, we'll see what happens. It's a really good job, in answer to your question. Is it a top five job? I don't know. It's definitely a top 10 job. And even though it's in the SEC West, which is tough, even though you've got Alabama in the shadow of Alabama, and Nick Saban all the time, it's still a big-time job. It's a flagship school in a state that produces unbelievable amount of talent all the time. You've got no competition in state for the talent. And they've been recruiting. You're going to walk into a situation where they've been recruiting at an ultra-high level for years and years and years and years. And if you can bring an offense and either find a new quarterback or develop one that's on campus, then all of a sudden you could win a lot of games a lot of ways.
So you're saying they're not losing a lot of recruits to Louisiana Monroe?
Not to this point. Now, they may lose some recruits here in the next few months before they figure out who the coach is, but if they get a big name, there's no reason they can't keep recruiting the same way they have.
All right. I had to be a little sarcastic.
I know you were kidding. You know, and the University of Louisiana Lafayette, which likes to call itself the University of Louisiana, even though it's a hyphenated school, too. They're not getting any recruits that LSU wants either.
Nice. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. I've heard a lot of, all right, so Miles is gone. Who's next? And somebody mentioned Brian Kelly, and, you know, he just fired his defensive coordinator. He got high praise for what he did last year in South Bend. I mean, they were really banged up, but they've lost five straight to Power 5 teams. We know what the expectations are. What would you say his level of security? Is it craziness to think that he could be gone this year, or if it goes sideways, who the heck knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have to really go sideways. But that's a pressure-filled job. And I don't know that Brian Kelly would be a guy who would get fired, but I do think he might be a guy who might think about the NFL. And I don't know if his stock's dropped a little bit. And, you know, the NFL is typically leery of college coaches. It kind of goes in cycles. But it would have to go really sideways for him to be in trouble this year at Notre Dame. But it's clearly things aren't going well.
You were at Neyland Stadium, Tennessee and Florida. Well documented. The long losing streak to the Gators is over. I mean, first there was the early season talk when they only almost lost to App State. Was, there they are, overrated. Then they beat Virginia Tech. Then they're behind 21-0. And I know Florida had a backup quarterback, but you've seen them twice. I guess I'm going to say, how good are they? Or as you wrote, might they be?
Well, I've seen them once. The other time, we played at a racetrack, and it was so far away, I didn't really see them play.
I gotcha.
But in answer to your question, you know, that second half against Florida, and it was a backup quarterback, and Florida also, by the way, did get conservative in the third quarter, even while Tennessee was coming back. I think that it took the Florida coaches a while to realize, hey, I think they are going to be able to score suddenly on our defense. And so I think their offense got a little too conservative, tried to milk the clock, and that turned out to be a backfire thing. That said, is Tennessee the team that played the first seven quarters, halves of the year, or the team that played the last half that we've seen them play? And I don't know the answer to that. I suspect they're somewhere in between. What we saw, though, was their capability, potentially, when they get it all going. And I think that was like, oh, that was a little eye-opening. That was sort of like, okay, this is who they could be. And that was kind of interesting. I will say this, if they play 70% of that, if they can find a way to play 70-75% of that consistently, they're easily the cream of the SEC East. Now, does any of that make them good enough to challenge the SEC West winner if it's Alabama? I don't know that, but we're a long way down from that road. Right. We got to go a long way down the road to that. I'll get that right in a minute.
We're with you. You'll be at the Big House for a game that probably didn't appear to be a beast until Wisconsin first knocked off LSU, then demolished Michigan State. Fifth straight home game for Michigan. You have this as one of your five games to watch, obviously. And I like what you said, by the way. This is Big Ten football your grandfather watched. And my reaction was, I've got a three-year-old grandson, and I remember watching Big Ten football like this. But isn't this, you know, with huddles and lining up and playing football, this kind of a treat, this game?
Well, I mean, I guess it's a treat. Is it a treat? It depends on what kind of football you like, right? I mean, don't most of your listeners have forgotten what a huddle is and don't like them at all when they see them?
Well, that doesn't mean I can't enjoy it.
Yeah. No, listen, it's fun. It's fun to watch those games. I'll tell you what I think might be more fun. What's more fun is when you get that clash, like a Brett Bielema team playing some up-tempo. Like, let's say Arkansas played Oregon.
Right.
That would be fun because of the clash of styles and how they each want to do what they want to do, and they don't care what you think about it. They're going to do it their way. I'm not so sure that – I don't know what we're going to get here other than I think it's two pretty good football teams. I think Michigan may be really good, and Wisconsin's only got two wins over teams that were in the top 10 at the time they played them. Now, no one's suggesting LSU's really a top 10 team, and we'll see about Michigan State. But at least listed on the resume right now, their resume is as good as anybody in the country. So I think it'll be fun just because it's two good football teams.
Now, you've been covering Michigan since summer. I mean, you were there. They're unbeaten. The caliber of their opponent is debatable. Penn State seems average. They got pushed a bit by Colorado before they knocked their quarterback out. The defense looks strong. I'm not so sure about their proficiency on the other side of the ball. So four games in, what's your take on Michigan and maybe how telling this game might be?
Well, I think this is when we'll figure it out. You know, we don't know yet, but this is when we'll figure it out. Michigan, you know, they did struggle with Colorado. Colorado may actually be a pretty good team. The Oregon fans are certainly hoping that turns out to be the case, right?
Yep.
But, you know, they then put them away in the second half. So I think Michigan, here's what they've done. They played teams that we haven't really seen them tested yet against other than Colorado, and they've done what you're supposed to do to those teams, and that's something to be there's something to be said for that. But now they get into the more of the meat of their schedule, and this will be a really good test. I think Michigan's really good. Having seen Ohio State in person on a night when they were fantastic against Oklahoma, I'll have to be mighty impressed with Michigan in person to think they're going to be as good as Ohio State. But let's just wait and see what happens.
The last question I have, the preseason game in the ACC, I think most people had Clemson at Florida State. Then all of a sudden, Louisville came along. And so now it's the Cardinals in Death Valley hosting the Tigers. No, actually, the Tigers are hosting this game. What am I talking about? You made an interesting point regarding what's at stake and this not being an elimination game. Between the Heisman contenders to the division, there's a lot of really interesting storylines here, right?
Oh, yeah, there are. Well, Deshaun Watson was your Heisman favorite coming in, unless it was Christian McCaffrey. And now all of a sudden Lamar Jackson, the quarterback for Louisville, is everybody's Heisman favorite. Now, listen, nobody gets awarded the Heisman at the end of September, right? And if that were the case, Geno Smith in West Virginia would have won it a couple years ago.
Sure.
And Leonard Fournette would have won it if you just gotten him to the end of October last year. But Jackson has been fantastic. But you've got kind of a potential Heisman matchup, moments made for Heisman winners. More importantly than that, you've got two teams that, you know, look like playoff contenders. I mean, Clemson hasn't played up to the expectations that we had coming in for this year, but they are 4-0. They looked a lot better against Georgia Tech last time out last Thursday. And, you know, there were signs that offense is coming around. The thing that I would really concern me is not their offense. I think it's eventually going to come around. That's the one that brought the nucleus back. It's their defense. That's what would have concerned me going into the year, but it's been good. They've filled in with new guys and been really, really good. Now, they've not been stressed like they're going to be stressed by Lamar Jackson in Louisville. But anyway, I guess a long way to say this is a really good kind of game of the century this week type of game that we seem to have every year. But yet the loser of it, whichever team it is not out of it. There are other chances to rehab and get back in the playoff race, frankly. The winner may end up being number one in the first playoff ranking. You never know. And obviously that's not for another month. But the loser isn't necessarily out of anything.
So what was your catchphrase that we need to have put on the T-shirts? It's not an eliminator. Would you say it's an accelerator?
It's a playoff accelerator for the winner, but it's not a playoff eliminator for the loser. Hey, the games down the line are the ones that become the eliminators. This one isn't one.
No, I thought that was very interesting. Like I said, I'm thinking of having shirts made. George.
Well, I'd like a cut of that. If you sell more than three, then
you're in. Catch up with George, USAtoday.com, on Twitter, at George Schroeder. Always a pleasure, sir. You have a safe trip to the big house and back, and we'll catch up next Wednesday.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, take it easy.